Welcome to Publishing Cousins, where family meets the fascinating world of books. I'm Melissa Lesher, the author.
And I'm Nikki Becker, the illustrator.
We are partners in publishing.
Ever wonder what really happens behind the scenes in publishing? Well, you're in the right place. Every episode, we'll be pulling back the curtain on this wild and wonderful industry, sharing our own creative adventures, and dishing out hard-earned wisdom about writing and illustrating for publication.
From manuscript mayhem to deadline drama, from sketch submissions to final flourishes, we're bringing you the real deal, served with the hefty side of cousin banter and plenty of laughs. Whether you're dreaming of seeing your own work in print or you're just a book lover curious about how the magic happens, we've got something special for you.
So grab your favorite beverage, settle into your comfy chair, and join us for an insider's journey through the world of publishing. We're the Publishing Cousins, and we can't wait to share our stories with you.
Welcome back to another episode of Publishing Cousins, and we have talked to you a lot about getting into a critique group and making sure you find the just right group for you. But today, what we wanted to talk about is, how does a critique group work? So what can you expect either as an illustrator or as an author when you go to a critique group? So, Nikki, I think we're going to say the same things. It's just going to be a difference between whether we're talking about an illustration or a chapter out of your book.
Yeah,
but I think so. Do you want to share a little bit about how it works? Well, I'll start off with this. You submit either a piece of artwork or a chapter to your group in a document. Now, Nikki, you can explain this maybe a little different for illustration, but for me personally, my experience has been you use a Google Doc and you turn on the link that you share is the commenter link. So nobody can delete your stuff, right? But they can go in and they can add and do things, but it comes up as a suggestion. And then you either can accept it or deny it when you take the time to go through it. So that just makes it really super, super easy for everybody to get on the doc and give you their feedback. But what is it like for when you pop in an illustration?
Well, it's not all fun like that. I didn't even know that you could do that in a Google Doc, so I just learned something new. Usually, I'm just sending a JPEG or a PNG. Mm-hmm. A PNG, it seems like the world is moving over to PNGs a little more instead of a JPEG because it holds its quality better than a JPEG. I hardly use JPEGs anymore, but just something that can't be edited. Like you said, you never want to send, you know, your Procreate file or your Photoshop file or your Illustrator file. I wouldn't, because that can be changed. But I usually send a PNG is what I'm working in right now. Something they can blow up, you know, and really investigate details if they need to. Because most of ours is on a screen anymore. You know, it used to be that you'd send, you know, a postcard or something like that. In art school, they'd put it up on the wall. You know, you'd bring in your three-dimensional piece of whatever it was and two-dimensional and put it up on a board, and everybody would kind of walk up, investigate it for a while, sit back down, and then you start the roasting. I mean, is really what it was, let's be honest. But no, it's very similar in that. I've used like a PDF before. I mean, you could do, mm-hmm. I do have some clients actually that do that. You submit a PDF and then they put the little comment on the PDF. So that's fun.
Yeah. That is an option too. I've just found that Google Doc is a little more user-friendly than the PDF. And I would say, can I just say, for like courtesy of others in your group, that you don't send your stuff like the night before you're supposed to meet, because it doesn't give them a lot of time to go in and read and give you some quality feedback. If you get feedback, it's generally something that's really rushed because they've been rushed to get it done before you guys meet again. So that's just my little tidbit there to help you with that. Do you ever say, hey, tonight we're going to meet, and everybody just that night throws something up for you to look at?
Yeah, I mean, well, my illustrator group where we meet through like a Zoom Zoom room type of thing. I've got a Facebook group for them too. So we can throw it up in Facebook group because it's a private group, or we do like a screen share and then we kind of go from there. But we're generally doing portfolio work. So I mean, the stuff that you might match with a manuscript, I'm very, very, very careful about sharing that stuff. So, but like my agent, for example, say I'm working on a project with that had come through the agent, and I'm allowed to share with him, and then he will, it, kind of the same thing, send it to me. You know, if your deadline for the sketch phase is here, have it to me, you know, maybe a week and a half early. I'll look at it, give you a few days to make changes, and then you still meet your deadline. And it does it, the same thing, because like for him, he may not be familiar with the manuscript I've been given. And so he's having to read the manuscript and then look at the art, read the manuscript, look at the art kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're talking about several images to several, you know, chapters or pages or what it might be. So, yeah.
Because and everyone does it a little different. I will say that you know, critique groups, like you said, it's kind of their form that they use. But what we do then is the night that we actually meet, we pull up a writing, like I share it on my screen with everybody, and we run through things real quick and we say, what were comments or feedback that you had questions on? So that's why I say when you do it ahead of time, then everyone has time to look at it for one, but then you've got time to have gone through those comments so that when we sit down and talk, we can quickly go through any sticky areas.
Yeah, that's nice.
And then that saves us a little bit of time on the end to say, what is it that you have that you need help with? Do some of that brainstorming stuff with as well.
Art, if you're doing one piece, or maybe you're doing a few pieces, it's a lot. It doesn't have to be that in depth. So usually we're just throwing them up going, hey, I want to talk about this piece tonight, who's got some feedback for me, and go from there. But I know, like, if you're going at a conference and they have like a portfolio review, I don't know if it's the same for manuscript review. I mean, because I know it's not, I mean, maybe a picture book would be the whole manuscript, but if it's for anything else, it's a chapter or a short version of even a chapter. You know, they sit down and there might be 3 or 4 people looking at that, maybe more, and they're leaving their comments in like a little folder, binder, something kind of thing.
Yeah.
I haven't done that in years, so I don't know how it's different anymore. Some of those conferences are just because you registered for the conference, you can send your stuff in a little sooner and then have your feedback at, you know, given to you at the conference, where they that way they can, that person who has signed up to be a critique person has time. Because I mean, I don't know, there could be, sometimes it's limited slots, like you have to sign up for a slot, and there might be, out of 200 people going to a conference, there might be, you know, 20 slots. I don't know. So
I also would say I wouldn't let being new to the scene intimidate you when you go to leave feedback. Because when I first started, I was like, man, I don't know that I'm giving great feedback. But when your feedback gets better, the more you do it, and the more you learn about your craft and all of that great stuff. But I always say, start with giving feedback as the reader, right? Because ultimately, for the author side of things, we want to know how our reader is responding to this. So right. Like there, even now, there are times when I'm like, you know what, this is really great, but this one sentence really tripped me up. Like, I had to reread it like 3 times. So, and I can't always like pinpoint what it is about the sentence. So I'll just say, just like try reworking this. And part of that's because it's not my story, right? And I'm only getting a snippet of the story. So they know, you know, what they're trying to convey there. So that is one place to start as an author. If you're joining those groups, just think, give them feedback as if you are the reader. Technically you are, but you know what I mean? How a reader might react to certain things.
That's a good point with that. And it can be the same way. One thing about critiques and not being shy about critiques is that if you do so many and then like you partake, where your artwork or your manuscript is being critiqued, then when you come to a point where you're asked to give a critique, you feel more confident in helping do that. Mm-hmm. So, and that's kind of fun as you learn. And you also learn how to critique your own work by getting critiques done of your work, especially if you're new. Don't be afraid to just put anything out there and say, hey, I'm trying to learn not only how to accept a critique and handle that, but also how to give. So, you know, fire away and don't be afraid. So many people are just so terrified of critiques. And I'm telling you, it's one of my favorite things. I love it. I love to see what people's thoughts are, because outside of your art changing, it's interesting to see your audience. Your audience, everybody who reads your books is going to read it a little differently. Everybody who views your art is going to view it a little differently. You know, that whole art's in the eye of the beholder kind of thing. Everybody views it a little differently. It's a lot of fun to see what people pick out, what grabs them from your art, whether it's good or bad. Because then you start to, it does mold your art moving forward, not just that piece, but you tend to see, you know, if there's color palette things like, well, hey, you know, you made this color, but I think it would pop off the page if it was this color. And if you get three or four of those down the line and you realize, hey, you're using a little too much of that color and it's just fading in, so stop using it all together. Yeah. And it changes your art as you keep going forward in all the pieces that you do. I know critiques are why I never, well, I'm not going to say never, because I do. I rarely use the color red, like for anything big on the page. That's one thing that has come from me from personal critiques over the years, is that it seems to be that people don't, and I don't even know if they realize they've done it. Like, did they realize they were telling me, hey, cut back on the red, or don't use red there, or whatever. So,
yeah. And I would say, and I know we've said this all along, and that is when someone says, hey, you should change this or you should do that. First of all, it's a suggestion. Mm-hmm. It's not a mandate. And second of all, don't let it hurt your feelings. No. Because that's not what a critique group is, not there to protect your feelings. They're there to make you better. So, but there's a fine line, in my opinion. They are not there to rip you down to the point that you're like depressed and think, why did I even try this? I can't write or I can't draw, whatever. No, 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 no. There should be a balance in there. That's what I love about my critique group. They're really good about being honest and saying this needs reworked, but they're also really good about saying, but I love this piece about it. And you've really got something started here. You just need to do da, 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 da to make it great. Well, you know what I'm saying?
If you're giving a critique, you really should, for every, I don't want to say negative because it's not negative. For every edit you want to make, give a compliment. Or maybe say if you've got 20 edits and you don't want to give 20 compliments, that's fine. But give your edits, and then at the end of your critique, you want to list out anything that came to you. And if it's 10, it's 10. If it's 20, it's 20. Fine. But you want to also give them good critique. Just as much as you need to know what you're doing wrong, you need to know what you're doing right, because that could be your brand.
Any other advice you have for like what to expect when you're part of a critique group?
The biggest thing is you need to expect that when you go into a critique group, the people who are critiquing you are expecting you to be ready for edits. Don't get defensive. That when you're given edits, if you have really good reasons as to why you did something, and I'm going to say always have three. Always have three reasons why you did something, and be ready to say, hey, I don't want to change that color red because it's red for this reason, this reason, this reason. 9 times out of 10, when you tell the person that has critiqued you that says change that color red, and you've given them three really good reasons why it's red, they go, oh, that's, I get it. I didn't even put that together. Oh, no, that's genius. Leave it. It's okay to speak up for yourself and give those three reasons, but have those reasons. Don't just say, oh, well, I like red, so I threw it in there. No, that's not a reason.
Yeah, it's like a coach coaching their players. They're not always getting praise for what they do out on. I go basketball because that's what I played and coached, but you're not always praising your players for what they do on the court because it's not always great. And you're fine tuning, maybe their shot, maybe their ball handling skills, whatever. You're fine tuning that, their execution of the plays. So just think of it as that. It's this constant fine tuning. To get you better and better. I did want to say that for writing, and I don't know if this is true in illustrations as well, but you're going to get the best feedback from a critique group that's in the same genre as you. I have done critiques where it's like four different genres are represented, and don't get me wrong, I get good feedback, but generally, if they're not writing in your genre, they're not reading in your genre, most likely, right? So they don't understand the full expectations and what is the typical layout, for readers in this genre, a novel for readers in this genre. So I highly, highly recommend that you find a critique group within your genre.
Yeah, you don't have to stick to your genre, but most of us out there who are illustrating for picture books are illustrating novelty baby board books and middle grade early readers. We're kind of jumping around. Now, there are some people who are strictly, if they like draw, like if they're heavy on the pastels and big eyes and cutesiness, they're illustrating for the things that are being sold in that, which is normally younger, baby, infant, that kind of thing. Your critique groups are often similar, but not always exact,
I wouldn't say it's not like you absolutely have to be within your genre. I'm just saying you're going to get the
No.
best bang for your buck out of it.
Well, and it's just that different between writing, I think, and illustrating.
Write and draw what you love and do not fear the critique group. Embrace it.
That's right.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Publishing Cousins. If you enjoyed our creative conversation today, be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcast. We'd also love it if you could rate, review, and share the show. It helps other book lovers find us. You can learn more about Nikki's portfolio and Melissa's novels at publishingcousins.com. And if you have questions about writing, illustrating, or publishing that you'd like us to cover in future episodes, send them our way at literaryscape@literaryscape.com. Until next time, keep creating, and remember, in publishing, as in family, there's always room for more stories.